Last class we were in 1 Peter. Let's go ahead and just look there, and then we'll move on back to Leviticus. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. We just read this. That you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the excellencies of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now, this is dealing with you being a priesthood and offering something to God. Amen? You're not just offering praises. You're offering back to God the excellencies and virtues of Christ. You're offering Christ in a sweet savor. Now, that's what the sweet savor offerings did, was that they were burned up and the outward form was lost, but a new form emerged. The essence of it remained. The essence of it was a sweet savor to God, and it rose to God. And so, in other words, the bodily form wasn't where He got the glory. That was actually lost for the sweet essence of the thing to be presented to God. That's Christ in us, folks. That's the, because it tells us that in 2 Corinthians, that we are supposed to be a sweet savor unto God through Christ and through His life. So, this verse is telling us as priests. Now, remember, we talked about this in the priesthood, but now we're not talking just about the priesthood side. We're talking about what it is that we offer, and that is specifically a sweet savor offering. And that means, folks, that this has nothing to do with sin, your daily walk. This is not talking about, because the sin offering, folks, If you go 2 weeks and you don't sin per se, then you don't show up at the tabernacle and offer anything. Am I right? Let's say you had a real good month and you went a whole month without doing anything wrong, then you don't show up at the tabernacle and offer to God anything for a month. You can forget God. You can forget showing up at the tabernacle. You can forget offerings. Unless the issues are more than sin, and they are, because that altar had a whole burnt, sweet savor sacrifice going up continually, not based on sin. Now, here's one way that you can know that. If you go through the New Testament scriptures and you study about sin, for example, the book of Hebrews or book of Romans, particularly chapter 6 and 7, then you will see that the sacrifice of Jesus was once and for all for sin. Right? Once and for all for sin. We discussed this at some juncture, but if that means that there was a one-time death when it came to sin, and He doesn't have to die again. Because if He didn't settle all sin, that was 2,000 years ago He died. If He didn't settle all sin, then every time we sinned, Jesus would have to get off of the throne, go back, get on the cross, and die again. Right? But He did, by one offering forever, put away sin. All right. That is typified by the sin offering or the trespass offering, where when there was an issue, you took it there and you crucified, as it were, that situation. But on the altar, there was a continual burning, a continual whole burnt offering burning on the altar night and day, every day. From the moment God initiated it, all, and in fact the scriptures we'll read, it'll say, this will be a statute to you forever. forever. Now, wait a minute. No, now, come on now. Forever. No, 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 no. Forever is a different word. No, no. How about for the length of your life? But forever means past our lives, past everything being, if you will, if I can put it this way, wrapped up. For all eternity, still an offering? Yes, but not for sin. Because the sin offering was put away well in advance. So, when it talks about a continual burnt offering, this has nothing to do with sin. This has everything to do with our responsibility as priests to offer Christ through us back to God. The virtues of Christ through us. The excellencies of Christ through us. When do we do that? On Sunday? No. Let me tell you something. On the Sabbath day, they had to double up on the whole burnt offering. But we'll read it probably here in a minute. But God never let them loose from that. Even that morning and evening sacrifice of the whole burnt offering never changed. And on certain days, like the Day of Atonement once a year, the tenth day of the seventh month, biggest day of the year, the Day of Atonement, man, you wouldn't believe all the sacrifices being offered. Not just for sin, not just the scapegoat being released, not just all of the stuff going on with that, but an abundance of extra, major extra on that day of whole burnt offerings. But one thing it says is, not only that, but you have to do the daily burnt offering too on top of all of that. Don't ever stop the daily. What does that mean? Christ in you. Christ in you every day. Offering up, not because you have to, not because you sinned, not because you failed, but because you believe that the only thing the Father really wants is His Son through the body of Christ. All He wants out of the body of Christ is Christ. He doesn't want witnessing. He wants Christ, and Christ will be the witness. He'll be the light. See what I mean? Now, we'll witness. I'm not saying we don't witness. You understand what I'm saying. I'm saying what God is wanting out of the body of Christ is not witnessing first. It's Christ. I mean, that would be like, oh, come on, I'm going to try to paint a picture for you. That would be like God looking to me or my wife looking to me or somebody and saying, now, what I want out of you first is witnessing, not you. You see what I'm saying? I mean, like if I was dead, me, if my life was dead, as long as I witness, I'll be pleasing. You see how ridiculous that sounds? Well, the body of Christ is supposed to be the tabernacle of God, the housing of the vehicle of the life of Christ. And God wants His Son first, whether He witnesses or not, however He manifests is fine, but He wants His Son. You see? Okay. Now forget regulations and everything. Sweet savor offering. Not a regulation. Voluntary. Something that we give God because we know that's what He wants. We know it's a sweet savor to Him. Can you imagine being a priest and you get out there and on the continual daily burnt offering, there's going to be two lambs, one for the morning, one for the night. So you take the lamb, you slit its throat, and you do all the different work because there's stuff to this. It's not just, you know, it's not just like come out with a gun and go poof, poof, and then lay it up there and set it on fire. Well, I mean, somehow we think that's it. Man, you end up cutting these babies up and laying the parts out and all this stuff. Do you understand what I mean? I mean, you could be sitting there with blood all over you, guts in your hands and everything going, how in the world can this be a sweet savor? Well, it didn't say it's a sweet savor to you. It says the giving of His Son through you is a sweet savor to the Father. It might not be sweet to you. It might be costly to you to give God His Son instead of give Him your best. You know. All right, so let's go ahead and go to Leviticus again. Leviticus chapter 1. And, you know, while we're turning there, I just want to say, you know, I appreciate the hands that went up for doing things like helping us get stuff done around here, you know, moving the chest or doing this or that. But let it be Christ. Don't just do something. Don't just do something. And frankly, don't just not do something. But give the Father Christ. These are opportunities. You know, you can say, well, I remember somebody once said to me, well, it must be nice to have a lot of slave labor around here. I thought, my God, if that's all it is, then let's shut the place down. That's how I feel. If that's all it, you know, this place was raised up so that you could dig a ditch and it could be for Jesus. So you could move a refrigerator and it could be for Jesus instead of just doing it for the man because you work on a job and that's what he asks you to do. And, well, you're paid for it, so then you better do it. Or because it's your own home and you got to do it or whatever. Do it for the Lord. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Don't just do stuff and don't not do stuff. Because every time you don't, you're missing out on an opportunity to give the Father His Son. You could be just, you know, it could be like the Day of Atonement where there's more than just the atonement sacrifice of the scapegoat and the other goat that's killed. There's a ton of burnt offerings going up. Man, this was a good day. I got to give all kind of, you know, offerings, burnt offerings, sweet savor to the Lord. Not just required things. Let it be voluntary. Leviticus chapter 1. And let's just read into this chapter and see what we got here. Well, let me say this first before we start that, and that is this, we're going to just read the first chapter. So we're dealing with, first of all, the burnt offering. There are three sweet savor offerings: the burnt offering, the meal offering or meat offering, and the peace offerings. Right now and for a while, we're going to be dealing with the meaning of the burnt offering as it applies to Christ and as it applies to us. All right, Leviticus 1:1. And the Lord called unto Moses and spoke unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, you shall bring your offerings of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flocks. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Do it before the Lord. If you're going to do it before the Lord, it says. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. Now, this word atonement does not mean clearing up a sin problem. It can mean that, and that's the way most of us read it. But basically, it is offering him so that there is union and there is clarity between us. And what is that clarity? Christ. Yeah. Well, you raised your hand and I said yes. Amen. Amen. Okay, verse 5. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priest and Aaron's son shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall flay. You know what flay means? It means skin it. and he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. You see what I mean? It's not just bring an offering up there, shoot it in the head and throw it on the altar and light it. You know, spray it with lighter fluid and then throw a match on it. A lot more to this thing. And, by the way, we are going to major get into this and see why you can't just as a believer shoot it, meaning shooting Jesus on the cross. In other words, just letting him die and then just say, okay, now, Lord, light it and I accept what you did. There's supposed to be an involvement in this. And the sons of Aaron, the priest, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priest, Aaron's son, shall lay the parts, the head and the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. But its inwards and its legs shall he wash in water. And the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Two things to note here that we really get into. One is, these sweet savor offerings are always made by fire. In other words, it comes under testing, it comes under trial, it comes under fire. And that's when we may miss the fire, we may avoid the fire, we may avoid the test, we may avoid the being involved with sacrificing and just live our own life, but that's what that represents. It is not just it is a fire offering and it is a sweet savor offering unto the Lord. Okay, and then verse 10, and if his offering be of the flocks, namely of the sheep or of the goats or for a burnt offering, he shall bring it a male without blemish, and he shall kill it on the side of the altar northward before the Lord, and the priest, Aaron's son, shall sprinkle its blood round about upon the altar, and he shall cut it into pieces, and its head and its fat, and the priest shall lay them in order on the wood that is on the fire which is upon the altar, and he shall wash the inwards and the legs. All right, let me explain what we've read. It sounds like we're repeating. It started with saying, and we'll, next class we'll really get into this, or maybe not next class, but soon. What we're reading here is a burnt offering for an individual. That's you. Individuals can bring burnt offerings. There's also the congregation burnt offerings. The congregation daily sacrifice is lamb. If it's the congregation, if it's the body, if it's the tabernacle, if it's the temple, if it's the congregation, lamb, that's what you offer. But if it's an individual, there are actually levels based on your involvement with the Lord. When it says bullock, all that means is a young bull. That's what we just read. Then we started reading into a lamb or a goat. And it's telling you to do exactly the same thing until you drop down to verse 14. And then here's the offering that a poor person can bring. Verse 14, and if the burnt sacrifice for his offering to the Lord be of fowls, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves or of young pigeons. And the priest shall bring it unto the altar and wring off its head and burn it on the fire, and the blood thereof shall be wrung out at the side of the altar. He shall pluck away its crop with its feather, cast it beside the altar on the east part by the place of the ashes. And he shall cleave it with the wings thereof, but shall not divide it asunder. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar, upon the wood that is upon the fire. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And so you see the progression depending on the scriptures in the Old Covenant would say something like this, depending on your status or depending on how substantial you are. If you are a poor person, then you bring two turtle doves. Can anybody think of anybody in the New Testament scriptures that brought two turtle doves for a burnt offering? Mary and Joseph. these levels make such a difference. When we get into it, honestly, if you're open to the Lord, it'll blow your mind. It's going to blow your mind what this is all about. It's incredible. For most Christians, they have no clue, so they don't relate to the Lord through the fulfillment of the old. It's simply living some sort of religious modern-day Christianity based on culture. But Jesus fulfilled something. And that's what this is all about, is that we are walking as the fulfillment by being His body. We are walking in fulfilling these things. Even though He fulfilled something at the cross, He is yet the fulfillment of all these things. All right. So, and then there's just a few scriptures over in Exodus. Let's turn over to Exodus chapter 29. And right now I'm just sort of laying the groundwork. We need to read these scriptures, and hopefully the Holy Spirit will quicken this to you later on. Exodus 29, verse 38. We'll just read down to 44. Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar. Okay, let me say this before we get going here. Now we are going to be reading about the whole burnt offering or the burnt offering, but this is for the congregation. What we just read in Leviticus was the burnt offering that individuals could bring. Now we're about to read the daily sacrifice burnt offerings. Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. The one lamb shalt thou offer in the morning, the other lamb shalt thou offer at evening. In other words, you're with the Lord in the morning and the evening, all through the day. And with the one lamb, a tenth part of flour mixed with the fourth part of a hin of beaten oil and the fourth part of a hin of wine for a drink offering. So let me add this in. It's not so important that you remember this right now, but in most of the burnt offerings, there was a meal offering included. There was also a drink offering included. I'm not sure how much, if we'll even get to the drink offering. Lord willing, we'll get to the meal offering. But there is a separate meal offering. But the burnt offering is so fulfilling that it includes so much to it. Let me just say this. I think in one sense the burnt offering represents what Jesus did on the cross when He covered everything. I think it just covers all of it in a nutshell. But you still should study out all the others. But I really believe that the burnt offering... And here's why I believe that. Because you see people like Moses and Noah and Abraham and all these guys, they never offered sin offerings. They offered burnt offerings, and it covered everything. So that's where I'm getting my information for believing that. All right. And verse 41, the other lamb thou shalt offer at evening, and shalt do thereunto according to the meal offering of the morning, and according to the drink offering thereof, for a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto you. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. Now remember, we're the tabernacle of God, folks. His glory doesn't just come because we're sitting there praying or dancing. His glory comes when we start offering the burnt offering, when we start giving Him His Son. And then He says, then He comes down and sanctifies the temple, the tabernacle. Verse 44, the last verse we'll read here. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and I will sanctify also Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. All right. And then one more set of scriptures, Numbers chapter 28. And these will be the last scriptures we'll read tonight, Lord willing. Again, I'm trying to just lay the groundwork for what I'm going to be sharing later. If I don't give you this now, we'll have to keep laying it over and over. Numbers chapter 28. And it's actually Numbers chapter 28 and 29. And this is an interesting set of scriptures because it begins by describing the daily burnt offering that we just read in Exodus. But then it starts showing you all of the special feasts and times, and it tells you, I want a burnt offering for this, like we talked about the Day of Atonement, for the Feast of Trumpets, for the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and he starts giving a certain amount. Well, this is what I want for this one. This is what I want for this one. Do you think all this has significance somehow in the Lord, or is it just junk written in a book that we don't have to pay any attention? We just read John 3:16, and that's good enough. I mean, really, just think about this. Do you think really John 3:16 covers all of this kind of stuff? And I say, no. Jesus is the one who said in John 5:39, search the Scriptures. And when he said that, there were no New Testament Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. They are they which testify of me, but you will not come to me that you might have life. He's saying, search the Scriptures to find me as life. He's not saying search the Scriptures to find deep, to be a scholar, a biblical scholar. You need life, and that's what he's saying. So anyway, let's start with just the daily burnt offering here in chapter 28, verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel, and saying to them, my offering and my bread for my sacrifice is made by fire, made by fire. I want you to notice every time it says stuff like that. For a sweet savor unto me shall ye observe to offer unto me in their due season. He didn't say just throw it up anytime you want to. Offer it in their due season. And thou shalt say unto them, this is the offering made by fire, which ye shall offer unto the Lord. Two lambs of the first year without spot by day for a continual burnt offering. Now this is interesting too. The Passover was said to be, I want a lamb of the first year also. Israel didn't become a nation until they left Egypt. But the lamb existed for at least 1 year before they came into being as a nation. Because he said, I want a lamb of the first year. In other words, there was a lamb slain before we ever got into trouble. That's the Passover. This is saying, I want a lamb of the first year too. All right. Lamb of the first year without spot, day by day, for a continual burnt offering. The one lamb shalt thou offer in the morning, and the other lamb shalt thou offer at evening. And a tenth part of basically we read all this. Verse 6, it is a continual burnt offering which was ordained in Mount Sinai for a sweet savor, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord. And the drink offering thereof shall be the fourth part of a hin of for the one lamb in the holy place shalt thou cause the strong wine to be poured unto the Lord for a drink offering. And the other lamb shalt thou offer at evening. Like the meal offering of the morning, like the drink offering thereof, thou shalt offer it a sacrifice made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. All right. What we just read is basically sort of copying what we just read in Exodus. Now we're going to change gears. And he's going to start showing you that this burnt sacrifice understanding of Christ is meant to fill up everything. If you could mark it down like this, okay? Let's say that there's 365 days in a year. So we mark, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 365 all the way down. Okay. Every one of those lines represents a day in the year. At the top of it, morning sacrifice. At the bottom, evening sacrifice. Okay, so you got 365. You got double that because you got two for every day. All right, that's a lot of lamb. Well, who's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world? Who's the Lamb of God that we're supposed to follow? Two different things. One, they said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Passover. Sin offering. But then they said, "Behold the Lamb of God," and they left, the disciples left and followed him. All right, so that's a lot of lamb in a year. Amen? I mean, that's a lot of lamb. That's a lot of Jesus being offered up. But we've only begun to offer here. Because beginning with verse 9, verse 9 is the Sabbath. Okay, verse, let's see. Verse 16 is the Passover. Verse 17 is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. See if I can make this out, because it doesn't say. I have to remember where everything is. Verse 26 is the first fruits, and that one is mentioned. Chapter 29 and verse 1 is the Feast of Trumpets. Verse 7 is the Day of Atonement. Verse 12 of chapter 29 is the Day of Atonement, Feast of Tabernacles, first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. It's the first day of it. Verse 17 is the second day. Verse 20 is the third day. If you'll look real quick, it'll say, and on the, like verse 23, and on the fourth day. Verse 26 is the fifth day. Verse 29 is the sixth day. Verse 32 is the seventh day. And verse 35 is new beginning, where the whole new year begins to end and come back to Passover again. All right. Beginning with verse 9 then, on the Sabbath. Okay, well, let's do it like this. If I've got 360, and they use the calendar a little bit different than ours, so it wasn't 365 days, but it was close to that. They went by the lunar year instead of the solar year. All right, but basically it's close. So you got one lamb for every day, or one lamb for the morning, one lamb for the evening, every day. But every 7 days there's a Sabbath. And he says, besides the regular thing that you've got here, this thing, besides that, verse 9, the Sabbath, two lambs of the first year without spot and two parts of hyn and flour. And verse 10, this is the burnt offering of every Sabbath, besides the continual burnt offering and its drink offering. Okay, so let's sort of fake that. Let's mark that. Every 7 days out of 360 days. Okay, so that's two more lambs. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 52 weeks in a year. Okay. So there's one, you understand, that's a Sabbath for 52 more. And that's 104 more to add on to 600. You know, we're getting up close to 1,000. That's a lot of lamb. It's a lot of Jesus. Okay, we've only just begun. All right. Then drop down to the Passover, verse 16. And in the Passover day of the first month is the Passover of the Lord. And in the 15th day of this month is the feast. 7 days shall unleavened bread be eaten. All right. And verse 19 tells you what you offer. And you shall offer a sacrifice made by fire for a burnt offering unto the Lord, two young bullocks or bulls, and one ram, and seven lambs of the first year. Okay, so let's start tacking two bulls up there, and let's put one ram there, and then seven lambs. All right? We just increased it again. I'm doing this for a purpose, because when I get into explaining what the burnt offering is, you're going to go, oh my God, God wants Jesus in this way terribly bad. He's not fooling around. He really, really wants the lamb, and he wants the burnt sacrifice. Okay? So the Bible's not just wasted. It's just not ink on white paper. It's God trying to talk to us. Anybody want to be talked to? Well then, what did Jesus say? He that hath an ear, let him hear. And if you don't, you know, we all have these things, these little rubber things beside our head. Jesus said, he that hath an ear, he wasn't talking about these because everybody had them. He meant, is your heart open to hear, or are you hard ground? Is my seed just falling on concrete in your heart, or is it landing and catching? All right. I'm not going to be able to give the full explanation tonight. I'm only laying this for what's coming. But we have to see this. the intensity of the Lord in this. Verse 26. Let's see. And in the day of the first fruits, there it is, verse 27. If you drop down in 27, two young bullocks, one ram, seven rams of the first year. All right. Notice verse 31. Ye shall offer them beside the continual burnt offering. Right? In other words, I just told you to offer a whole bunch more, but keep giving me the continuous flow of the sweet savor of Christ out of your life, out of your vessel. Am I right or wrong? Is that he's saying, beside this, you keep doing the continual burnt offering. All right, chapter 29, verse 1. It is the day of the blowing of trumpets, or what is called the Feast of Trumpets. Okay? And he says in verse 2, one young bullock, one ram, seven lambs of the first year. Okay? And we've been getting that a lot here. Seven lambs. Okay? Verse 6, Numbers 29, verse 6, beside the burnt offering of the month and its meal offerings and the daily burnt offerings and its meal offering, their drink offering. In other words, you give me all of this beside, including the monthly offering and its meal offering. All right. And then verse 7, and ye shall have on the 10th day of the 7th month a holy convocation. All right, this is the Day of Atonement. So on the Day of Atonement, you get... where is it? One young bullock, one ram, seven lambs of the first year. And then verse 11. The 15th day is the Day of Atonement. Verse 12. And then look at verse 13. 13 young bulls, two rams, and 14 lambs. That's the first day. The second day is verse 17. And on the second day, you shall offer 12 young bulls, two rams, 14 lambs of the first year. Okay, that's only the second day. There's 7 days, and then the eighth day brings you into the new beginning. Verse 20, on the third day, 11 bullocks, two rams, 14 lambs. Verse 23, on the fourth day, 10 bullocks, two rams, 14 lambs. Anybody see what's happening here? Anybody see a change in numbers? Anybody know why this is called the Book of Numbers? Anybody think there's anything to numbers? What is happening is he's dropping off one bullock every time. He's dropping off one bullock required. You're getting closer and getting closer, getting closer. There's more Jesus that is already filled and coming out of you. It's already satisfying the heart of God. He's not requiring as much because you're already seething. You're already oozing Christ. Okay? And then, I don't remember what day we went on, but we can just keep going down because it's verse 29 is the sixth day with 8 bullocks, 2 rams, and 14 lambs. Verse 32, on the seventh day, 7 bullocks, 2 rams, and 14 lambs. And then verse 35, on the eighth day, you shall have a solemn assembly. Verse 36, but you shall offer a burnt offering, a sacrifice made by fire, a sweet savor unto the Lord. One bullock, one ram, seven lambs of the first year without blemish. All right. I've actually got a study, and I didn't bring it tonight, where I show all of this. And it's an incredible number, just of burnt offerings. Not counting sin offerings. Not counting meal offerings, not counting peace offerings, thank offerings, not even adding up the drink offerings. What it is saying is that God is dead serious about us not just being Christians, not just being Jews. Imagine God saying this to the Jews. To me, I'm speaking as if God were speaking to the Jews. God would say to them, to me, you are not a Jew because you have the blood of a Jew. You are not a Jew because you were born into this religion or you joined it. What makes you Jewish is that you offer unto me what I want offered. What makes you Israel. And that's why Paul said, peace unto you and upon the Israel of God. I don't think he was just, I think he's calling us the Israel of God. Not, you know, because we are now not walking in shadows, just killing animals. We're walking, not just every day, but in the morning, and then in the afternoon, and on the Sabbath, and on the first day of the month, and on the every remembrance of the Day of Atonement, and on the Feast of Trumpets, and in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and every opportunity. We talked about unleavened bread and what that meant. But forget digging out all the leaven out of your house. He's not just wanting you to get rid of stuff. The sweet savor offerings and the offering of the burnt sacrifice is not getting rid of something. It's adding something to God. He's the one enjoying the savor. He's the one satisfied. He's the one that, and I'll probably get into it eventually. But I believe that that's what Jesus was when he stepped down into the waters of death. When he stepped down to be baptized of John. I believe that for him, he was being the burnt offering that was going into the waters of death. And what came up was the essence of my son. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Well pleased relates to a sweet savor sacrifice. Something that pleases him, not just something that kills something that's ugly that should have been put to death. Do you kind of understand what I'm saying? I mean, the Father basically saying this is a sweet savor. He's not, you know, it didn't represent Jesus dying on the cross there. It represented Jesus coming and saying, my whole life is yours. I'm burned up. I lose my existence in the earth. I lose all of my hopes and dreams that I would have apart from fulfilling your plan, Father. I am the whole burnt offering, and I will continually be that. Does that sound all right? Does that make any sense? All right, we'll stop.